Please turn with me now to the scriptures, and our reading this morning is found in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 21 to 26. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 21. Let us hear the word of God. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes, keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. And the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word. Now this morning we're going to consider this section of scripture under the title of Safeguards of Divine Wisdom. Safeguards of Divine Wisdom. Protections. Guards that protect us if we know the Lord. Many of us are aware this week that our nation's parliament, the Westminster Parliament, made some far-reaching decisions that will affect society and the future. Morality and ethics have been relativized. There are serious implications from what our parliament decided on Friday. The argument was everyone deserves a choice, even when it comes to life and death. When the NHS was set up in its inception, it was set up to preserve life and to provide healthcare for all at point of need. Alas, our country and its leaders no longer seem to have the thing which most people in my generation took for granted: common sense and wisdom. And where can we find wisdom? Where can we find truth that would help us to navigate through difficulties, through challenges in this day and age? The answer is not found in emotion. It's not found in argument. It's found in the Word of God. God's Word is wisdom from the very first word to the very last word. And why is that? Because the Bible tells us again and again that God is the fount and source of all wisdom. If we are wise here this morning, we will have heard those verses, perhaps in our Sunday school days: the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But children, it's only the beginning. And what does it mean to fear God? Well, Solomon, who was inspired by the Holy Spirit, wrote these words in another book of his, in Ecclesiastes. He gives us the definition of fear of God. And he puts it like this. I just want you to note this. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. What does it mean to fear God? It means to worship him. It means to have him first in our lives, in our hearts, in our calculations and our estimations. To fear God, you could put there, is to worship God. To live in a sense with the idea that we're worshiping God. Fearing God is not, for the believer, about dreading God. It's a heart attitude towards God. And when you're reading the Bible, I hope we read it with that attitude. This is God's word. And this is to be treasured, it's to be cherished, and it also is to be honored. When you're reading through Proverbs, and we've just done a very short series, and we'll, as I said before, we'll fit this little section of Proverbs in between our expository ministry in the morning or a topical series in the morning. I hope we're learning that wisdom is very practical. Wisdom isn't something up there that you go to university to become wise. You can become wise even when you're sitting at home with an open Bible and an open heart. Wisdom, oh, it's like gold dust. It's so rare. It's like some of those very, very rare minerals that people are spending billions of pounds trying to secure. Wisdom is easy to attain with a humble heart and a sincere approach. But today, wisdom, as it were, is another place that we're told in the Proverbs, has fallen on the streets. Fallen on the streets. So what we're going to do this morning, instead of dealing with the ethical issues and the contemporary issues of today, is look at God's wisdom. And look at these safeguards. And it's found really in Proverbs chapter 3. And I just want you to notice the whole sense here is of a wise father teaching his young son the things that are most important. If you notice, he begins our section with, "My son." Now, he uses that phrase, has used that phrase already twice before. In chapter 3, verse 1, "My son, forget not my law." And verse 11, "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord." This is a wise language. This is careful language. It's language to persuade someone, particularly if you can imagine a father and a son. And the safeguards here are very important, because I believe the Father here, and it's our God, our Father, that we need to think most of, is very mindful that we need protections, we need fences, we need safeguards in our day and age, and every day. What is a safeguard? It's used to defend, to protect, to shield. It means to keep secure from danger or against attack. The safeguards is to prevent accidents or even pitfalls. And sadly, so many, even Christians, fall into difficulty when we forget the safeguards that God has laid down for us. Now, David, Solomon's father, uses this word in 1 Samuel 2 and verse 22. When David offers protection to Abiathar's family. Abiathar had been of the high priest's family, and sadly, Saul had ordered the execution of the high priest's family, and Abiathar escaped, and Abiathar was told these words by David himself. It's in 1 Samuel 22. When he says, "I will be a safeguard to thee." Or like this, "Abide thou with me, fear not, don't fear, for he that seeketh my life seeketh thy life, but with me thou shalt be in safeguard." It's interesting, isn't it? There's our word, safeguard. Translated from the original language. So David is offering here protection to the priest, to high priest's family. He's also later has offered, we find out, offered protection to Nabal's shearers. They had offered protection. They had protected these shearers, these farm workers, from harm. And God here, I believe, wants us also to think in this mind. What is the first thing he wants us to think about in this text? Proverbs 3:21. My son, let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. And it's very simple. The first thing is this. Keep divine wisdom in view. Keep it in view. Notice what he says here. My son, let them not depart from thine eyes, you could put it. Or let not them depart from thine eyes. And the them refers here to all the list of protections and these truths about wisdom that are found in the previous section. The teaching and the wisdom of God. Don't let them depart. Don't let them leave. Don't let them float away. Keep them close. And God will keep you close to the truth. Keep it and retain it. Keep sound wisdom. The word wisdom here and discretion. We've looked at wisdom before, but let's look a moment at discretion. It could be translated as discernment. It is translated as discretion in Proverbs 1 verse 4, Proverbs 3:21, and Proverbs 4:21. It's also translated in Proverbs 5 verse 2 in that way. Discernment. Be discerning. And it's not wrong to be discerning. That's not a wrong thing to be. The Bible is very clear that we should discern between that which is good and that which is bad, between that which is helpful and that which is unhelpful, between that which is following God's law and not following God's law. We need to be discerning. We need to be wise, yes, but we also need to be discerning. The wisdom comes from our study of the Word of God, and the discernment is the application of that wisdom. Are we discerning? Keep them always in view. Don't let them part from your eyes. Keep them always ahead of you. The picture here, of course, is that something is going ahead of us. Or perhaps we've got some desire or some plan, and we've got that in our minds, and that's the idea here. But then we see something in verse 22. How helpful the Word of God is to our understanding. It gives us an illustration or a picture. In verse 22, so shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. It shall be grace to thy neck as a chain of gold or a jewels. It's literally grace to thy jaws. But our translators translate it as neck. And perhaps in a way it could be both. It could be grace to the jaw, to the speech, but it also can be grace to the neck. It can be wrapped around us. Now I remember as a boy, a young boy, being fascinated by the necklaces that my aunt used to wear. And children, I'm sure you've got a grandma or an aunt who likes her fine jewellery. And I often found it amazing. It was sitting, I remember, on this little presentation plinth, as we would put it, or stand, and it shone and it glinted. It was obviously expensive, but there was something more to it than just the expense. It had been her grandma's. It had been her grandmother's. And she often said, I think of my grandma when I see the necklace. And so it should be when we come to the wisdom of God. Maybe, children, you can go home and ask your grandma or your aunt or whoever it is that likes their jewellery to show you some of their finest jewellery. Maybe, I can't imagine boys asking grandmas to see a chain, but you could see and look at it. And you get a picture here of what Solomon is trying to do, and under the Holy Spirit, he's saying, so shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Perhaps we should see God's word and God's wisdom as a necklace about our necks, as others see gold chains about their necks. So keep it in view. Keep it before you. Keep it in front of you. Practically, that simply means always open it each day. Keep the wisdom of God before your eyes. This isn't, as it were, we need to do some course to become to be able to read the Bible. We can read the Bible if we have done any education at all. We can read and write, and here we have it. We can read the Bible, and we can keep it in view each day. The whole import here is that it should be done regularly, not irregularly. It should be done constantly, not occasionally. It should be done as a routine, or routinely, but it shouldn't be treated as a routine. It's grace to our necks. It's God's gracious dealings with us and kindness to us that we can even open the Bible and read it and learn from it. So that's the first thing. Keep divine wisdom in view. Secondly, and we're moving to verse 23, safety and security of divine wisdom. Look at this. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt be not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. Look at verse 23. Then shalt thou walk in thy way. This is a consequence of the first point. This is a result. This is, as it were, this is what happens when we keep wisdom as grace to our necks. What happens? We will be secure, we will be safe, and we'll even have a sound sleep. See how practical this is. Shalt thou walk in thy way safely? Now, of course, nowadays we immediately think of our generation, but let's think for a moment of Solomon's time. What was it like to travel in Solomon's day? Well, perhaps the safest road was the road of trade. It stretched from the northern part of modern Israel, or we would call it Judea and Perea, and stretched all the way down south. But there were other roads. There was a road to Jericho that was notorious. And it was full of enemies and thieves and highwaymen. We might hear of highwaymen. Dick Turpin, I think, was the most famous in England, in the forest down there outside, Epping Forest outside London. But we need to think that it was not safe to go on those roads. And yet, Solomon here is not thinking of a physical road. He's thinking of the road of life. In thy way, we could think of as a traveller. Travelling along. Going on our journey. That's the idea here. This is a wonderful illustration because we need to remember we're travelling from to somewhere. Somebody who says to me that, well, I don't know what the future holds. In this life, that's true. But we know what the future holds in the life to come. We're travelling. We're on a journey. One of the most famous hymns from the Welsh hymn writer was, "Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Guide me with thy powerful hand." One of the most famous books translated into so many different languages. The most famous book outside of the Bible in English is Pilgrim's Progress. And we're on a journey. We're on a journey, as Bunyan rightly points out, from the city of destruction to the celestial city. And do you know, children, there are little books. There's called a little book called Little Pilgrim's Progress. And I remember reading it. I think I read it as a family over the years. And it's lovely and helpful to remember that the little child there, the little pilgrim there, is a picture of someone on a journey to be with the Lord forever. Think of that. When you're reading the text, find these illustrations. They're so helpful. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, not their way safely. If we keep wisdom close to us, and we read it, the Bible, and we keep the Bible close to us, we will walk in safety. And our foot shall not stumble. Well, that's the opposite to what the psalmist says. Moses says, their feet shall slip in due time. That's about those who presume on God's grace and mercy. Or some who ignore God altogether. Their foot shall slip. But look at the contrast. For the believer, though we might stumble occasionally, we won't fall forever. The foot shall not stumble. And then that's the safety side. What a promise. What an assurance. In an insecure, uncertain world, that we can be secure if we're secure in the Lord. Sometimes Christians are given marvelous opportunities to tell others, this is not the final destination. There's a world beyond this world. There's a life beyond this life. There's blessings that we can only imagine here. But when we share with them the gospel, we must tell them they must come to know Christ if they're to know this security. John Bunyan, as I mentioned, wrote this wonderful book, but he too had to leave his city of destruction, and it was actually a city of pleasure for him, to seek the Lord. And he found the Lord. And his whole story, Pilgrim's Progress, is about his life and the life of every true believer. So that's safety or security. Safety in the daytime. We shall be secure. We shall be sure-footed. That's the idea here. And then, what about security and sleep? Here we have, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. The word sweet there isn't speaking about sweet cakes, or sweet chocolate, or sweet confectionery, or even sweet sweets. No, it's speaking about it's pleasant. And when our sleep is pleasant, it's often because we feel secure. One man puts it like this: learn the security of the life which is built upon the eternal principles of the book of God. There's no fear. There's no terror. Sound asleep. In Psalm 4, verse 8, this is what the psalmist says. Its repose is unbroken by alarm. It is at peace with itself, with man and with God. Safety, I will lie down in safety. That's the whole point there. Psalm 4, verse 8. I will lie down in safety. Or Psalm 116, verse 7. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. But here's Psalm 127, verse 2. The Lord giveth his beloved sleep. What a truth that is. How practical to think that, yes, on our journey through this life as Christian travellers, if we can put it like that, we can rest securely and safely. This doesn't mean that we won't face problems, but it does mean that we won't face the sleeplessness of a life without God. And then the last thing, security in danger. Security in danger. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. That's so important. This is, there's no fear in divine wisdom. That's the thing we need to remember. No fear. So the first thing was, we should keep divine wisdom in view. Secondly, we should have this truth or retain this truth, security and safety in divine wisdom. There is security and safety in divine wisdom. And then lastly, there is no fear in divine wisdom. There's no fear. Be not afraid of sudden fear. Oh, friends, the world is full of fears. There's fears of wars. There's fear for the future. There's fear for security. There's fear for in so many ways. There's fears of losing our health. There's fears of losing our jobs. But the word here, the word of God here this morning to us is this: why should we not fear? Because in verse 26, the Lord shall be thy confidence. That's the point. And shall keep thy foot from being taken. How can I know that I don't need to fear anymore? I can only know that when I know the Lord. I can only know that when I know the Lord. I know that might sound very simplistic, but it's true. There was many people falling asleep, but the two people that came to mind as I was preparing this was one, Jonah, a disobedient prophet. You read about his story in the book of Jonah, in the later prophets, towards the end of the Old Testament. He fell asleep, even though he was being disobedient to the Lord. He fell asleep. That's quite something, isn't it? Here's a man who was set apart by God to preach the word of God to the people of his day, and particularly he was being sent to Nineveh, the most powerful empire of its time. And he rejects God's call, and he disobeys God's clear command, and he finds a boat at the harbor, and instead of going east, he went west. But he fell asleep in the boat. He was woken up. And you think, well, how could he fall asleep? Well, sometimes when we're so confident in ourselves, disobedient to the Lord, we can even still sleep. Not everyone who doesn't know the Lord doesn't have a good sleep. You know that, don't you?
Yes.
But think of someone else who fell asleep. Perhaps the most significant is the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who tells his disciples not to fear. He's been ministering all day. They're caught in the middle of a storm. And the Lord Jesus was physically tired, and he fell asleep. And Mark adds a lovely little detail. He fell asleep on a pillow. He was exhausted. He had been preaching, he had been teaching, he had been doing marvelous miracles, and he was tired. In his humanity, he was tired. In his deity, he does not get tired. But in his humanity, he did. And as he sleeps, the storm gets worse and worse and worse. And the seasoned fishermen amongst the disciples are now terrified. And they come to the Lord in panic. And they say, Lord, carest thou not that we perish? In other words, these seasoned fishermen are not going to be able to withstand this storm any longer, and they're not going to be able to protect the lives on board. And the Lord just stands up as the creator of the universe and speaks to the wind and the waves, and they're all quiet. He could sleep because his trust was in divine providence, divine provision, and divine protection. Do we have the same approach? Perhaps someone here this morning, you want to know this wisdom for yourself. Well, I mentioned this in very briefly last week, but if you want to know this wisdom for yourself, you must know the wisdom of God. And if you want to know the wisdom of God, you must know the one who is the wisdom of God. Paul describes the Lord Jesus as wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. John Chrysostom puts it like this: "So then I fear not an enemy's plots. One thing only do I fear, which is sin. If no one convicts me of sin, then let the world make war upon me. For this kind of war only renders me more prosperous." In other words, we shouldn't fear anyone. We shouldn't fear anything if we're the Lord's. If we know God is our Heavenly Father and Christ, who is sent of God, is now the wisdom of God to our souls, then we can be secure and safe on our journey through this life. We're all on a pilgrimage somewhere. Where will we end up? Gracious God and loving Father, we're thankful for this morning. We're thankful for the Bible, for the truth of it, for the clarity of it. We're thankful, O Lord, for the scriptures that teach us so much wisdom. We admit, O Lord, at times that we don't understand fully the things we're reading. We don't see the truths that we should see. So we pray thy Holy Spirit would help us. He would be our comforter, but also he would be our teacher. And he would lead us into all truth. We pray, O Lord, that any here this morning who still, as it were, are unsure of where they stand, or even little ones amongst us, they're not yet trusting in Christ, that they too would know him who is wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. We ask these mercies in Christ's name. Amen.